So good. Well, today's Christmas, right? Well, today's not Christmas, but this is the Sunday before Christmas, so we're going to talk about Christmas. And as you know, Jesus probably wasn't born on December 25th. But that's a date that we've, as in the church, celebrate his birth. So we're not celebrating the day, we're celebrating the baby. Amen? All right? And so I just want to share a little testimony. If you can be turning in your books, your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 1, but I just want to share my testimony. I remember, you know, I grew up in church, the Catholic Church. I grew up in the Catholic Church. And so every Christmas we had songs and we had different things. I even went to parochial school, so we had little plays and we did all the things that kids do. And I knew all the stories about Christmas, right? I knew the manger. I knew the, you know, the sheep. I knew the angels. I knew all of that, but they were just stories to me. Right? They were just songs to me. But back in 1977, I got saved. And I came to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I got saved in August, so come December, I thought, you know, I'm going to go to midnight mass. That was a big thing on Christmas Eve, was midnight mass. Those of you that were Catholic, you know what I'm talking about. But went to midnight mass, and I was just so full of Jesus that it meant so much to me at that time. And we're, you know, they're going through the mass in the Catholic Church. It's liturgical, so the same things are said over and over again. And some of it was the priest would say something, and then everybody would respond, right? And they got to the part where it was the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Father God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, his only begotten Son, born of a virgin, you know, on and on. And I was listening to that. And I thought, dear Lord, everything that's necessary to be saved is in that creed. Everything. My next thought was because I was so full of the personal knowledge of who Jesus was and my relationship with him, I wanted to shake everybody in the room. Yeah. Because they were saying it out of rote. Yeah. Like I had so many times before. But since I've been born again, I can't say that the same way that I did before, because the word came alive in my relationship with Jesus. Right? And some of us forget that, and we need to go back to that simple childlike faith of, Lord, reveal yourself to me, even in this story of Christmas. I've heard it over and over again. I've heard these verses over and over again. But I'm telling you this morning that there's something new for you if you'll pull it and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. We shouldn't be bored by the Christmas story. It should become more and more exciting to us because of what happened. It's so cool. It's so cool. But in Matthew chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until Christ was 14 generations. I've read that going in so that we know that Jesus came right on time. Jesus was born right on time. At the exact day, the exact hour, because the prophecies had to be fulfilled in the right order. And actually, when he walked in to Jerusalem to be tried, it was the exact day that it needed to be. This is what I want to tell you this morning, is that you were born right on time.
Yes.
Everyone in this room was born right on time. God knew when you would be born. He knew the purpose that he had for you. He knew everything about you. And he knew you'd be sitting here or watching this morning. That is so cool to me. Because as we read the rest of the story, what I'm saying is Jesus was born right on time. You were born right on time. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were born again on time.
Hallelujah.
That's so exciting to me. Because I know that I know that I know that His purpose for me, come on, He gave me a gift in the Savior, but then He's given me gifts to give out through the Savior. And I'm right on time. I'm right on time. I said I'm right on time. You're right on time. It's not too late. It's not over. It's not done. You're right on time, but you gotta trust that. Oh. That's really interesting. Well, that's very funny. I normally shut that off, but watch this. Watch this. It's so important that we get an understanding of who we are and who God is in us. This story about Jesus coming and being born of a virgin is a big deal. So let's begin to read. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to just put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, as you're reading this, we all read that before. Just get Joseph. He's hearing this from an angel. He's going, sure. You know what I mean? Think about it. but he had a heart to hear from God, right? So it's interesting. And watch this. In verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife. But he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. Jesus. They called his name Jesus. But there's several things in here, we're going to read in Luke in just a minute. But think about this. Who was Jesus to us? And in this story, think about it. You know it. We sing the songs. But to you this morning, Jesus is peace on earth. This morning, Jesus is goodwill to men. Jesus is joy to the world. Right? That's who He is to you this morning. If you leave it out there or just when you come to church or sing songs, you don't understand the whole ramification. Jesus is the good news. But go back up, and I just want to read this again in verse 23. It says, this is a prophecy. We're going to look at it in a minute. But behold, the virgin will be with child, and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Do you understand that when Jesus was born, and he was that little baby in the manger, that was God with us. This morning, Jesus is to you God with us. But Jesus went on to talk about, and we'll read that in a minute, but he's not just going to be with us. This little baby, through his Spirit, is going to be in us. So this morning, Christmas is not a day of the year. It's an event that made a difference in your life, and you carry that baby with you 24/7. He was born to die for you and to take your place on the cross so that you could have a place in heaven with Him, right? He is that little baby. But when we look at Christmas and we come to Christmas Day and we're celebrating the birth of the little baby, we've got to remember that little baby represents God to me, and it's a sign that God is with me. So no matter what emotions you're going through, no matter what physical trauma you're going through, no matter if people have deserted you, no matter if people have walked away from you on Christmas morning, like in every morning, and even especially because I'm speaking to you this morning, you need to know that God is with you. His name is called, think about that. Every time you hear the word Jesus or Yeshua or Jesus or however it's pronounced to you, whenever you hear that name, it should ring this bell. God is with us. God is with us. Jesus, God is with us. Jesus, God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. I don't know about you, but there's times when I'm going through things, it just feels like God's a million miles away and I'm a million miles away from Him. But if you'll just start saying the name Jesus from the reference point of Emmanuel, it'll change everything. 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 So good. God is with us. Let's go over to Luke chapter 2, and we'll look at this story through the light of Luke. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So the census took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." Isn't that just like God? You know, the foreknowledge of God and God doing things on time is just amazing to me. But it's like it blows my mind because He sees the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning, and time doesn't really. So He sees the whole tapestry of things, right? But watch this. This actual event of the taxation had to come so that Joseph and Mary would be in Bethlehem at the time of the birth, because Jesus wasn't supposed to be born in Nazareth, supposed to be born in Bethlehem. So God's got you where He wants you. And you can still do what God wants you to do. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your mistakes you made, whatever. Come on. You just need to know the fact that God is with us allows us to be in a place where God can use us to do His will. God is with us. Man, I want to get that into you so much, and we're going to look at it in detail in just a minute. "Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, to his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered." Now, ladies, just think about this. You're 8.5 months pregnant, and you've got to go on a donkey for 90 miles. I mean, you've got to be highly favored and full of joy to make that trip without complaining, right? I mean, think about it for a minute. Every time the donkey made the wrong move, just think about the potty breaks that had to happen on. I mean, this is real, but here is Mary and Joseph, and they're making this trek, right? And you know, I love the verse that says Mary was pondering all these things in her heart. Yes. It's like, Okay. But she was feeling all the pain that you felt, right? When you had a child, when you were 8.5 months pregnant, she was feeling those same things, and those same things were going on as she's making this trip. So I like to make it real in my mind and my heart. And so that's where I go. Verse 6 says, so it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths that had laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Think about this. Okay, I'm going to have God's son. This will be great. What, there's no room? There's no bedroom for me? I got to go into this cave where the animals are? And this cave, come on, think about this for a minute. It wasn't a manger like we see the wooden structure. It was an actual cave in the side of the hill. And many of the passing shepherds, and they came to this cave all the time. You can go to Israel today and see this cave in Bethlehem. It's still there. And there's a big church over it and all that, but the cave is still there with the manger. And the manger wasn't one of the wooden things that we, you know, have like this. It wasn't a wooden thing. It was hewn out of stone. So it was in the cave, but it was a rock, and that's where they put the hay for the animals. So you're Mary. You're 8.5. Almost 9 months pregnant, the time comes, the water breaks, and you go, really? Really? I'm going to give birth here?
To God?
Yeah. God is going to be born here? But it was a fulfillment of prophecy. I told you this last year, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but there were some who espoused the view that Bethlehem was close to Jerusalem, and all the sacrificial lambs that were to be brought to the altar to sacrifice for sin were absolutely from this area. And there were special shepherds who were ordained of God to care for these sheep so that they would be qualified for the sacrifices. And that In this system, there was a cave where the shepherds brought the sheep to be looked at to see if they qualified to fulfill the sacrifices that were necessary to, to pay for the price of sins. Now watch this. It's even the swaddling cloths. One of the things they did, here's this perfect lamb that was being born. And you know that babies, whether they're horses or dogs or but lambs, can be clumsy when they're first born, and so they didn't want this baby sheep to be injured in any way, so they had these special cloths that they wrapped around them so that they wouldn't be injured after they've been born. These were the swaddling cloths that were talked about in this story. So watch this. Jesus was brought to Bethlehem, which was the place where the lambs were inspected so that they could be offered as a sacrifice. And the priest looked at them in the manger to examine them. And then they carefully wrapped them in swaddling cloths so that they wouldn't be injured, so that they could be qualified to be the sacrifice. This is Jesus. This is the Jesus who was born in the manger. Come on, that's so good. Hallelujah. Now watch this. So in verse 8 it says, and now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Just a side note, I think if an angel showed up to you at any time, there might be fear in your heart. But the first thing that they're going to tell you is, don't be afraid. That's so cool. That's the way God is to us. I love it. verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. That's not something they saw every day. But that's going to be a sign. And then suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's the story of Christmas. The story of Christmas is that God came to be born of a virgin, but he came in the form of man so that he could become the sacrifice for your sins so that you could be reconciled to God. And in other words, that you could be brought back into the family of God. Think about this for just a moment. Jesus came born of the virgin in that manger scene. But I want to take you back for just a second to Adam. Adam was created by God. The breath of God went into him, and Eve was brought out of Adam's side, and they walked with God. It said in the cool of the day, God came to them, and Adam, it was like a normal routine for them to walk with God. So God was with Adam before the fall. But because of the fall, God could no longer be with Adam. Could no longer be with you and me. The story of Christmas is about that's all about to change. Because his name shall be called. The God who couldn't be with us anymore is going to be returned to us. And his name, when you ever hear Jesus, God is with us. God is with me. God is in my life. God is in my circumstances. God is in my family. God is in everything that I need. God is with us. God is with me. I want to go back to Isaiah and look at a couple of things here. In Isaiah and chapter 7, this is where the quote comes from. We're going to read it. Hallelujah. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. I need to back up a little bit. Isaiah was a prophet in Israel, but it was at a time when Israel was... captivity was at their door. Captivity was all around them. They were being captive. In other words, they were a nation that was absolutely ordained of God to be a separate people unto him. But because they refused to do what he said and wanted to do their own thing and actually worshiped other God, and he gave them lots of chances to repent. Judgment had come and they were being carted off. But Isaiah talked about that, but he also always put this hope inside of them. But listen to this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Watch this. This is so important. Throughout the history of Israel, it's like God blessed them and they departed. And then as after a time of departing and God trying to deal with them, then they went into bondage. But even in the bondage, God said, listen, you're still my people. I'm not going to go away from you. You can't, come on, there's some things that are going to have to happen because you brought them upon yourself, but I'm still with you. It doesn't matter what filth you're in. If you've been eating with the pigs, if you've been walking in the mire, I'm still with you. I'm still for you. I'm coming back. I'm coming to you. Right? So in the midst of captivity, you've got to remember that I'm sending myself to you. Being born of a virgin. God is with you this morning. God is for you this morning. God has a plan for you this morning. Christmas is about God being with us. Oh, that's so incredible. Go to chapter 8. This is so good. Verse 7 says, "Now therefore, behold, the Lord brings up over them the waters of the river, strong and mighty, the king of Assyria in all his glory. He will go up over all his channels and go over all his banks. He will pass," and this is again, as a result of their sin. "He will pass through Judah. He will overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the neck and the stretching out of his wings. He will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel." In other words, what he's saying is, you are the people of God. You are the ones that I've separated unto you. Sin is going to cause some problems, but listen, that doesn't change who you are.
Amen.
So this morning, everyone in the room has had a time where they've blown it, where they've messed up, where they haven't done what they were supposed to do, all of that. But I want to tell you that Jesus, who was born on in the manger, his name is Emmanuel.
Yeah.
So what am I saying? I'm saying when you mess up, get up.
That's good. It works.
Come on, don't quit. Don't stop. Don't let the enemy harass you and say it's too late, it's over, it can never happen again. Because even while we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. That baby that was born in the manger came to die to take your place. And the moment that he took your place and you received him as your Lord, he became Emmanuel to you. God is with us. God is in us. God is for us. In Romans chapter 8, Paul said it this way, and he talked about all the stuff that he went through. But he said it in the climax, he said, "But if God be for us, who can be against us?" So when you're going through a situation that's just overwhelming to you, I just want you to put a "but" in there. His name is Jesus. He shall be called Emmanuel. God is with. Yeah, this looks impossible. This looks, you know, I don't like it. It doesn't, it hurts. It's all of those things. But Jesus, Emmanuel, is God with me. God in me. Now go to John chapter 14. I love reading all the gospel, but John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, because this is the intimate time that Jesus spent with his disciples. Because, you know, Jesus had a pretty big church at one time. I mean, there were 5,000, 10,000 people thronging him and coming all around him until he started saying things they didn't like. And then they started dwindling and dwindling and dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. In fact, it got so bad that he talked to his disciples and he said, "Are you going to stick around?" And Peter said, we've got the revelation. Where are we going to go? Right? Where are we going to go? So this is a time where he's talking to them and he's talked about the fact it's expedient that I go away. He said in verse 16, it says, "But when I go away, I'll pray to the Father and he will give you another helper." The word in the Amplified is so cool. Another comforter. And the word is from Parakletos, and it means, it means intercessor. It means standby. It means advocate. It means helper. It means, come on. He's the brother that will always stay with you. He's with you. "I will send and he will, that you may abide with me forever." Watch this now. This is so good. I thought it was there. Hang on. Verse 17, it says, "For the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus was born, so at that point, the disciples were with God because he was Emmanuel. But he said, from this point on, he's not just going to be with you, he's going to be in you. So Jesus isn't just the baby that was born in the manger. If Jesus is your Lord, then he's not just around the world somewhere, he's in you, he's with you. He said, I'm going to come and make my abode with you. Right? If somebody isn't saved and they're singing the Christmas songs and, you know, Silent Night, and it's been recorded by so many people, but if they don't have a relationship with Jesus, Emmanuel is not a part of who they are. But you, this morning, you, every one of us, have received him, and he's with us and he's in us. So what I'm saying to you this morning is that you begin in the midst of the situations where you are at a loss, where you're struggling, where it just seems overwhelming to you. Just start singing Emmanuel. Emmanuel. It's not just a Christmas story, God with us. It's God with us, but even he took it a step further, God in us. I know you've been like me sometimes, God, I don't know what to do. And if you stop right there, you'll be in trouble. But if you put, but God is with me. Yes. But God said he would give me wisdom. But God said he would never leave me nor forsake me. But God said he'd supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. But God said that I have the mind of Christ. That if I lack wisdom, I could ask of him and he'd give liberally. And he wouldn't withhold from God is with us. God, the story of Christmas is the baby came, yes, and that's awesome, but the real story is that it was God with us. His name is called God with us. Now go with me to Colossians chapter 1. We could read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and I encourage you to do so. Because this speaks of, and Paul's talking about the gospel. I heard something the other day, and this, I'm throwing this in for free. In Colossians chapter 1, but I heard this the other day, it made so much sense to me. He said, you know, in trying to witness to somebody, he said, you don't teach non-believers. You preach to non-believers. You teach disciples. So when you're witnessing, don't try to explain to people the gospel. Just proclaim the gospel. Just proclaim the gospel. If they deny it, fine, wipe your feet off, go to the next one. But don't try to argue them into the kingdom. Just preach the kingdom. Just preach, right? And so good. But Paul's explaining the gospel, and he's explaining it to people who believed. But I want you to go to verse 27. It says, to them, and that's talking about that God's revealed himself to them because he came in the form of a baby. To them, willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Emmanuel, Jesus in me, is the hope of glory. Charles, I don't know if you can do this, but could you put that up in the New Living Translation? Okay, when you get it, it'd be awesome. God wanted them to know the riches of the glory of Christ Jesus are for you, Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing His glory. Come on. The baby born in a manger was called Jesus, and His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And the fact that you're born again means that God is living on the inside of you and that He's with you. And this, in Ephesians it says, this is the very earnest or the very title deed, the very proof that you're forever and ever and ever and ever going to be with Him. The Christmas story is about Jesus coming as a baby so that when He was raised from the dead, we could be raised from the dead. And we are now seated at the right hand of God because God is with us. God is in us. And they called His name Emmanuel. Amen. Did y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. So thinking about Christmas and thinking about the gifts and all of the plans, don't get too wrapped up in it that you don't remember. Jesus, God with me. Jesus, God with me is the reason for the season. Let's pray. If I could have the worship team come up, we'll close with a song. And if you need prayer, come on up afterwards. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You for this word, Lord. All of those that are watching online, we just pray, God, that You would touch them and that You'd be with them. You'd minister to them. And if you don't know Jesus, that's the first place. Christmas can come alive to you like it did for me if you'll just surrender yourself. Here's the gospel in a nutshell. You're a sinner. You're away from God. And there's nothing you can do to fix it. Jesus, who knew no sin, that means He never made a mistake, took your place. And what you need to understand is that if you'll come to Him and just say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and You're it. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord. He is the Messiah. He is God born of a virgin. He is that. And I receive Him now and I make Him the Lord of my life. If you do that, the Bible says you'll be with Him forever and ever and ever. God bless you in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything afterwards, come on up. We're believing God for miracles, miracles, miracles now and going forward.